There are some documents you'd think shouldn't exist, and yet. Friday Night History 80, Season 3, Episode 14, The Passport. Well, here we are, Episode 80. Never thought I'd see the day. This is a bit of a landmark, and it means that we're getting close to the big three-digit landmark just down the road, and all I can say is thank you so, so much for listening and reading all these years, and for giving me this space in which I can continue my passion for educating people in early modern Japanese history far beyond the academic world. Now then, where were we? The Tokugawa Shogunate is not known for international relations. It's more known for keeping the rest of the world at arm's length for most of its existence. That said, it had to deal with the rest of the world in some capacity for its entire existence, as we've explored at different points in this podcast. Just because it kept the rest of the world at arm's length doesn't mean that foreigners didn't come to Japan, legally or illegally, nor does it mean that Japan was not learning from the rest of the world, be it from observations of passing ships and castaways, or via books imported from Holland. Remember, we're not talking about the country being hermetically sealed. Just with interactions tightly controlled is all. And so with that understood, at the beginning and end of its history, the Shogunate issued documents for people to leave Japan and visit other countries. Today, we're going to explore one such document from the 1860s and try to situate it in its proper context. The Perry Mission of 1853-54 accelerated a process of reform and modernization already in motion in the Shogunate, and it required that Japanese people travel abroad. The 1860 mission to the U.S. we've discussed earlier in the podcast in Ninja vs. Buchanan was a particularly noteworthy landmark. But it was just the start of a series of delegations and study abroad missions the Tokugawa Shogunate and a couple of major domains sent overseas. This remains one thing I wish there was more study of in English language scholarship, but some of the records of those trips have in fact entered the public consciousness. The 1863 delegation to Europe of Ikeda Nagaoki, for instance, is famous for the Samurai at the Sphinx picture because on their way home, they visited Egypt where photographer Antonio Beato, brother of the far more famous photographer Felice Beato, took a picture of them at the ancient monument. This is before the Sphinx was excavated, so the ground level in the image is a little bit higher than it is today. The Shogunate's 1867 mission to Paris, however, coincided with the Paris Exposition of the same year, where the Shogunate, as the recognized government of Japan, had a section on the display grounds. This exposition, the Exposition Universelle in French, was influential in culture and technology and played an important role in introducing Japan to Western Europe a little more directly. Rather prominently represented were also the technologically advanced Saga domain and the increasingly openly hostile Satsuma domain. Representing the Shogunate was a delegation led by Tokugawa Akitake, one of the Shogun Tokugawa Yoshinobu's brothers. At the time, he headed the Shimizu Tokugawa line, one of the Gosankyo, the three spare lineages whose entire point was furnishing alternate heirs if the Shogun was childless. There were a lot of people in Akitake's entourage who would go on to various degrees of fame in the Meiji era. Shibusawa Eiichi, an industrialist with broad reach even into the 20th century, was just one of them. But most of them had the advantage of having kept out of the Boshin War, or having sided with the coalition that won, and thus ensuring their safety and higher status in the ensuing era. Yokogama, as a senior retainer of Aizu Domain, had a frontline leadership position that put him on the losing side of the war. But we'll come back to that later. For his trip, the Shogunate issued Yokoyama a passport, our document of interest for today's episode. It's a brief one-page document, and it reads as follows. Number 58, good for 3 years, retainer of Matsudaira Higonokami, Yokoyama Chikara, 21 years of age, height 5 shaku 3 sun, moles, 2 to the side of the right eye, 1 at the tip of the nose, both small. Eyes, ordinary. Nose, ordinary. Mouth, ordinary. Face, somewhat long. This document is provided in response to the herein named individual's request to travel to France for study. We request all officers of countries on his way to offer safe passage and assistance and suitable protection as needed. KO3, Year of the Fire Rabbit, 9th of the first month, Japan Foreign Affairs Bureau. 9th of the first month of KO3 is Wednesday, February 13th, 1867. So this is passport number 58. Passport number 1 was issued in 1866 to acrobat and magician Sumidagawa Namigoro, the oldest shogunate-issued passport in the possession of the modern Foreign Ministry of Japan, is number 3, issued to another performer named Kamekichi. So this isn't a huge number of people heading abroad between early 1866 and February 1867, but for a country barely 14 years out of isolationism, I think it's impressive nonetheless. It's interesting in how many minute personal details it includes, like birthmarks, while other things are a little confusing. What are ordinary eyes, for instance? It also has a statement at the end that echoes similar boilerplate language in modern passports the world over. I think, in all, it's a good indicator of the shogunate's breakneck pace of attempted reform and modernization, even if all of that came too little too late in the 1866 to 1867 time frame. But there's something else of interest here. Yokoyama wasn't even the first Aizu retainer to leave Japan, nor was he the only one in this delegation. Traveling with him were Ebina Suemasa and Osake Shunzo. Ebina was an Aizu clan elder, Karo in Japanese. Already in Paris when he arrived were Yamakawa Okura and Tanaka Motegi, two Aizu men who'd gone on ahead and were involved in the domain's efforts to modernize its military forces. We can therefore reasonably assume that Tanaka and Yamakawa likewise had shogunate passports, issued earlier in the series than number 58. Yamakawa Okura, later and better known as Yamakawa Hiroshi, was of similar high status in Aizu domain, and was actually Yokoyama's first cousin. So at the time, there were 5 Aizu warriors in Europe together. Yokoyama got to travel around Europe while he was there. He visited England, Holland, Prussia, and Russia, taking notes on what he saw as he traveled. But the news of the worsening political situation in Japan made Yokoyama and the others hurry home, arriving in Japan in late 1867, shortly after the shogun's resignation. Yokoyama, Ebina, and Yamakawa were some of the senior leaders of Aizu forces during the ensuing Boshin War. Of the Aizu men who went to Europe, Yokoyama and Tanaka did not survive the war. Tanaka was killed in action in Echigo. Yokoyama died in battle at the defense of Shirakawa. He was leading a counterattack against the imperial forces. His wound was fatal, and he died the same day, 20 June 1868, or the first of the fifth month of KO4, at age 21. Given how his similarly cosmopolitan colleagues' later careers went, one wonders what he might have been in the subsequent era had he lived. And with that, I will see you next time. I'm Nairi, and this has been Friday Night History. Now, questions? Friday Night History is a historical romp with me, your favorite history dyke, Dr. Nairi A. Bakalian. Our theme is Ohayashi from Paratune, licensed under CC 4.0. This podcast is brought to you by my Patreon patrons, so thank you to Sorcha, Catherine, Emily, Eric, Jan, Bob, Ryan, Sean, Ennis, Faith, JD, Kaz, Rita, Dinsdale, ALC, AO65, Amy, Daphne, Dr. Yakumo, Lemur, Gnarl, Irene, Jesse, Catherine, Katie, Laura, Maeve, Mark, Nora, Sinan, Aura, Bewick, Charlene, Charles, Danny, Deborah, Emily D, Emily R, Julie, Gabe, Jacob, Jax, Jocelyn, Kathy, Kim, Mary, Phoebe, Phoebe Z, Relia, Rueri, Lisa, Susan, Tora, Zandra, Allison, Amy, Andrick, Bruce, Charlotte, Colin, Flitterkit, Jack, Kelly, Lane, Natalie, Fuong, Plains, Sam, Samantha, Vera, Ines, and Zoe. I couldn't have done it without you. Thank you so much, and remember, who you are and what lights your fire is worth fighting for. North Star forever. I'll see you around.